Good evening and welcome to our services tonight. We have some visitors in our presence and we're always thankful for you coming our way, and we definitely want to welcome you back at any opportunity and chance that you may have to come back and be with us here at O'Neill. What comes to mind when you hear this word, fear? Maybe it's other words. Maybe it's words like scared or frightened or terrified. And think about fear. What is it that kind of rattles your cage? Makes your heart pound just a little bit. Maybe you get a little sweaty palms or something. What is it? Maybe for some people it's the sight of spiders or snakes or heights or small spaces or storms, or maybe it's the dark, or maybe it's flying. Maybe it's death. Maybe some of you might be even thinking about a movie that you've seen that was scary. Maybe it's you're remembering a time back when your mom said, or maybe right now thinking about when she says, "Wait till your dad comes home." Maybe it's when your mom, or maybe it's when your teacher gave you the look. Maybe fear sometimes is a knock on the door in the middle of the night. What do you fear? Whom do you fear? There might be somebody in our presence got fear. I have no fear. But I would say that most of us in here, there's somebody that we have something that we're afraid of. Something that we fear, and there's something in our life that we just might fear. So that leaves us with the question, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? We read in Romans chapter 3 here, we see the descriptions of the Jews and the Gentiles. And here we see from chapter 3, starting in verse 9, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? No in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. And as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they use deceit, and the poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood, and destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known." Maybe you can maybe insert why or because. Look at the next verse. "There is no fear of God before their eyes." There is no fear of God before their eyes. Does this sound familiar to today? Does this sound familiar to the world today? And you know, we ask ourselves, why do people do evil things? Why do they carry out those evil things? And if you remember from my last summer, we were seeking godly advice in an ungodly world. Why do people do this? Why do they do these different things? Why do they involve themselves with alcohol or smoking or drugs, their premarital or even extramarital relations? Why do they are stealing? And why are they cursing and using their mouth for something they shouldn't use? Why are they telling lies and maybe even gossiping? Why are they choosing inappropriate friends or inappropriate relationships that just brings them down? Why is it that people do that? Just like the Jews and the Gentiles mentioned in chapter 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And it's fear. It's fear that causes us to go along with the crowd. It's fear, it's the lack of fear that causes us to not stand out. It's that lack of fear that causes us to not be different as we've been commanded to be different. So it kind of boils down to another question, doesn't it? Do you fear God or do you fear man? So when we think about that, do we fear God or do we fear man? And do we think about, you know, the wisest man that ever lived, what advice would you give us, Solomon? What advice would you give us? And as we look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, what did he say? "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." What's the conclusion, Solomon? Fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Well, let's just not take the wisest man's word for it. What about the sinless man? What about the one who came and lived a sinless life? What did he say? Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." You don't fear somebody on this earth that can just kill your body. But he says, you fear him who was able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall Matt fear? Who do I need to be fearing? So we think about the fearing God. We think about the fear and the definitions that comes with that fear. And there's definitely two distinct definitions of fear. And one is that of being terrified. Some of the things I mentioned before, being filled with terror, trembling. But there's also that awe-filled fear, that reverent awe that we should have. And I'd like to say that the fear of God can be some of those both. We can be terrified of that divine judgment of God. We can be terrified of that divine judgment, especially when we have offenses that are against our God. We can also have that fear of God. It can be filled with that reverence for a God who He is, that sovereign being, who He is, that Savior that we seek because of those personal offenses that we have. When we think about actions of someone who's a God-fearing person, when we think about that, we look into the Bible, we see the actions and the attitudes of those individuals who feared God. It consisted of those people who served God. People who fear God, they serve God. We see from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things that He's done for you." We think about obeying, those people who fear God are people who obey His commandments. We see that from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 13. "Their children," said, "who do not know this law, but must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess." Those people who fear God, they exhibit wisdom. We see that from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The Holy One is understanding." We see that someone who fears God is someone who lives in a special covenant relationship with God. We see that from Psalms 103, looking at verse 17, starting in 17. "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love with those who fear Him. His righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts." We see those actions of God-fearing people are those that are in awe, and they have reverence of Him. We see that from Psalms 33, verse 8. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him." We see that those who fear God are those that trust in Him. We see that from Psalms 115, verse 11. "You will fear Him. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield." We see those that fear the Lord are those individuals who hate and avoid evil. From Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, "To fear the Lord is to do what? Is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech." Those that fear God, they hate those things. They don't want to do those things. We see that those who fear God or those who worship Him. We see that in Revelation 14, verse 7, when they say with a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." We see that someone who fears God, someone who has that either you're terrified of that judgment or maybe you're in reverent awe of Him, His being. We see that there is a fear of the Lord that we should have as His children. The fear of God, which we see here is in Deuteronomy chapter 10. "Now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees." When we fear God, that's what happens. We also see when we look at the contrasting those terror and that reverence that the fear of God is something that is very fundamental for those of us who know Him. With those of us who have that personal knowledge of God, it makes a difference between whether it's terror or whether it's awe. What do you mean by that, Matt? What do you mean? What are you talking about there? Let's look at the examples here of the sailors from the book of Jonah. We always talk about Jonah, and we look at Jonah and what he did, but what about the people that are on the boat with him? We see there that Jonah, what has he done? He's ran away from God. He's headed to Tarshish. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. It says, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And what did the sailors do? All the sailors, they were afraid. Fear was among them. And they're crying out to their own God. Here they are. They are scared. They are full of fear, and they're crying out to their own gods, and they start throwing out their cargo out into the water. They're trying to lighten the ship, and here Jonah, he's asleep. Jonah, what are you doing? We're going to perish. What are you doing? Let's cast lots. Let's see who's responsible. And guess we know that the lot fell on Jonah. And they want to know who. They said, well, what country are you from? Where are you from? He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And listen to what that said. This terrified them. And they asked, what have you done? What have you done? Why have you done? What have you done that you have upset the God of the heaven? The God who made the sea, the God who made the dry land. What have you done? Of course, we know he says, you throw me into the water and the water's going to be calm. And they're like, they tried to row back to land, but they didn't. They couldn't do it. And just the sea grew wilder before them. And they cry out, you know, Lord, please, don't let us, you know, he said, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. It's for you, Lord, has done as you pleased. And they took Jonah and they throw him overboard, and the sea is raging. And what did it do? It calmed. But look at the men again. The sailors. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And they made vows to Him. You see, the sailors, they know a little bit more about the Lord after this, don't they? They know a little bit more about the Lord, and that fear that God that of God produced a result that can be seen here by the sailors. And you know, and when we think about that, and we think about when the law was given to Israel through Moses, and the command to fear the Lord was coupled with it. As you look at those and you look through the scriptures, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Fear me and keep all my commands. You see again in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God. Again in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20, fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Hold fast to Him. Take your oaths in His name. We see then as we look and we look through the law again, the many times it was, don't do this, whatever sin it is, but fear the Lord. Don't sin, but fear the Lord. We see that in Leviticus 19, verse 4. Don't curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in the front of the blind, but fear the Lord. Leviticus 25, 17. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. Leviticus 25, verse 36. Do not take interest or any profit from them, but fear your God. Leviticus 25, 43. Don't rule over them ruthlessly, but fear your God. We see as we look and we look through the scriptures, there are many examples of individuals who were God-fearing people. We see how Abraham, as we look here, and as Abraham, as he obeyed God's command by showing his willingness, he was willing to sacrifice his son until an angel said something. What did the angel say? Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son. Abraham was a man who feared God. He was a man who was in reverence awe of Him. He knew what God could do. He knew who God was. We see Joseph. We can see that he is definitely a man of integrity. And as the brothers have been accused, and he is telling them and tries to put to rest their fears about his command to go back, he says, you know what, I fear God. And we know that he does, doesn't he? Because when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, what did he say? How can I do this? How can I do this wickedness? and sin against God. Joseph was a man who feared God. We see that God described Job as someone twice, as he was blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil in Job 1:8 and chapter 2 and verse 3. We see from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, we see that Paul makes a statement there. What did he say? He said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." You see, there are examples of people who feared God. And when you fear God, there's an action that takes place. And the action is, you're doing righteousness. You're doing what God wants you to do. You're staying away from evil. You're staying away from things that would cause us to fall from the grace of God. We look and we can see from Luke chapter 12, verse 5, we see in the New Testament that the fear of God was a significant part of the gospel. In the face of threats that his followers would face in the world, Jesus instructed his disciples to do what? He said, "But I will show you whom you should fear. You fear him who, after killing of the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." You fear God. You fear God. The fear of God marks the beginning of the way to salvation and through Christ, as we see that when Peter visits Cornelius, his house, he declares unto him that God, what did he say? "But in every nation, he that feareth him and works righteousness is accepted with him." In Acts 10, verse 35. We see that the early church, they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit and it grew in numbers, living in what? The fear of the Lord in Acts 9, verse 31. You see, so many examples of being able to be a God-fearing people. To be God-fearing, and we see that and from 1 Peter 2:17 that we're to honor all men, we're to love the brotherhood, but we're to fear God. We're to honor the King. We're also told in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, that therefore, since with these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. You put away everything. You purify yourself. You put all those things out of your body, out of your spirit, perfecting holiness out of what? Out of reverence for God. Out of fear for God. We come to Him, and we come to Him just as He wanted His sacrifices, spotless, blameless, because that's what He expects of us. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with what? With reverence and awe. King James said with what? With godly fear. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Why? Because, what did it say in verse 29? Because God is a consuming fire. Yes, we're to be terrified of a judgment because Matt does wrong. Matt falls very short from the grace of God. And that should terrify me that when I make a mistake, that I get it corrected. But also, it should have a fear, this awesome respect that I have for Him as my Father and His Son as my Savior, that He's willing to save. Because you see, there were some examples of individuals that didn't fear God. We see that from Pharaoh, and look at all the plagues that happened with Pharaoh because he didn't fear God. One right after the other, and he did not fear God. We see that in Exodus. We see that Pharaoh, and when they're in the Exodus, and after even releasing Israel, he doesn't fear him. He pursues after them, and what happens? The entire army is destroyed. His army is destroyed. We see in Malachi 3, verse 5, that God promises to bring judgment on those who do not fear. If we don't have that fear of Him, judgment is going to be brought upon us. We look at that, though. We look at compare that to the next two verses, in 16 and 17 in Malachi. What does he say? Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in the presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. And on the day when I act, it said, the Lord said, says the Lord my Almighty, they might be my treasured possession. He's going to bring judgment on those that don't fear Him. But on those who fear Him, you're considered His treasured possession. He said, I will spare them just as the Father has compassion and spares His Son who serves Him. We see those, the flip side of that. We see those that fear God. We see that God brings blessings upon those individuals. That God will bring blessings upon them. There's favor found in Psalms 115, verse 13. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. We see that He will confide in them, and there's knowledge and guidance that's there. We look at Psalms, as the psalmist said in Psalms 25, verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. We see in Proverbs 16, verse 6, that those who fear God, the consequences, that they're going to avoid evil. You fear Him, you're going to avoid evil. We see that those who fear God are going to have a God that's going to be merciful upon him. In Luke 1, verse 50, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. We see those that fear God, they're going to gain life, because we see in Proverbs 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord, it leads to life. They're going to gain knowledge, because Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of God, the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. We see they're going to gain wisdom, because Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see that wisdom? That wisdom begins with what? It begins with us having a fear of God. And it's related very closely to our knowledge. It's related very closely to that obedience that we have, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in Psalms 111, verse 10. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. We see then, well, how can I have a fear of God? How can I have a fear of God? And we need to do a lot more of this, as Guy mentioned this morning, is in prayer. We need to be more in prayer with Him, talking with Him. That's how we start to develop our fear for Him, because we get to talk to Him. We share with Him our concerns, our heaviness of our heart. We share with Him our joys. We learn that we have a relationship with Him. We know that we can study His Word. We can read through His Word. We know that we can look at His Word. We have to start opening. Man has to start opening that Bible. Digging deep into the Word of God and sharing that with others. We have to start respecting authority, just as Jesus had that respect for His Father. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, He says, Jesus said, I don't speak of my own. But the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I've spoken. I know that His command leads to eternal life. He said, so whatever I say is what the Father has told me to say. He knows the words of God. He knows where they lead. They lead to eternal life, yet we don't sometimes have that fear of God that He wants us to have of Him. We have to realize that we are a sinful and in a needy condition. We cannot justify ourselves. There's one that we get justification through, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross alone, when all those feared their own lives, they feared for their lives, they feared men, what man could do, but not what God could do. We have to recognize that there is that God, He is in the presence. Just because we can't physically see Him and touch Him doesn't mean that He's not there. Doesn't mean that He's not watching what Matt does. Doesn't mean that He's not encouraging Matt in right direction. We have to understand, too, that we have that need for God. The God who made the world and everything that is in it, the Lord of the heaven and the earth, does not live in temples built by hands. We don't need Him. Well, He doesn't need us. We need Him. He Himself, He gives everyone what? He gives us life and breath and everything else. Yet, what do we do? Do we have the fear that we need to have? Today, as we laid Merck to rest, David Cox, he read the 23rd Psalm. And we see as we look there, and to a Christian, what comfort it is. What comfort it is to read the words of the 23rd Psalm. But I'm focusing on verse 4 of Psalms 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm walking and death is at the doorsteps, or maybe death is, and maybe we're in the presence of death, I'm not going to fear evil. The fear that I have is not going to be a fear of this world. There's going to be no fear of this present world. Because why? Because of the one that you do fear is with you. For you are with me. You see, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can be against you? And you want to be on God's side. I want to be on God's side. But how many times do we sin and fall short of the glory of God? And what do we do about it? And sometimes it's things that's public in nature. And what do? We just keep on going. We've got to get it corrected. But see, Satan, his lie is, you have plenty of time to get right with God. Well, my friends, there's no better time to get right with God than right now. As we reflect, as you think back on your own fear of God, think about what he says in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because we stand in the presence of an awesome God. We stand in the presence of the God who is our judge. He is a just judge. And it should make us tremble to think about the things. It makes me tremble. Think about the things that Matt's done and have to stand in front of God. When I think about that, he says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. His will is for us to shun evil. His will is for us to fear him and to keep his commandments. Tonight, as you reflect upon your life, is there a fear of God that's missing in your life? If it is, let's get it corrected tonight. If you're not a child of God, there's no better time than right now. There's sin in your life. Let's get rid of it as we